Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs. Flubby, again, I'm just so glad that you're walking around studio and you're looking fantastic. It's good to have you back.
I told you, I'm still getting into the swing of things. It's been a while.
No. You're
am I
back.
Good?
And
am I good?
You're fantastic. How good was that conversation? He personified a certain way of looking at his business that we haven't heard or rarely hear on the show. And I love that. The idea of focus, love what you do. But he wasn't just saying it, he really, really seemed to mean it.
And you know what, Gareth, I like his vision. I think he really has like a global contextualization of what the individual needs are and how to gratify the individual needs, especially as a consumer, you know. And that's what you
very
want
well
to
said.
Be, to be the chief officer in charge, you know what I mean? You want to be able to satisfy every single customer.
Now, speaking about satisfying, you did so well. You see, it's so great to have you here.
Yes, my love.
Speaking about satisfying customers, there is this growing need in the education space to really evolve and develop and begin satisfying needs that are out there that don't seem to be through these old conventional ways
Correct.
Of distributing education.
Correct.
We've got some really interesting guests here in studio.
I like the way you put that.
Well, look, we make a great team, don't we? Do some introducing, please, Luby.
So apparently this institution is harder to get into than Harvard.
That's what the internet is telling us, right? That's what Google's telling
and
us.
And apparently you travel while you learn. There's no such thing as the ordinary classroom.
Look, and remember, when we say travel, it's not down to... You go to... I want to try and draw the conclusion or the comparison, not Paris.
Yeah.
You go to Paris. You know? It's a case of it's international travel while you're busy learning and.
Yeah.
Should we get our guests to introduce themselves?
I think, please, let's get our ladies to introduce themselves. And what are we talking about exactly? Let's start with you, Rose.
Yeah, so my name is Robin Goldberg.
Robin.
No problem. And I'm part of a team that has started a new university called Minerva. And
wow.
The intention is really to think about preparing the next generation of leaders, the next generation of CEOs, and giving them the tools they have to be super successful.
Fantastic. Next to you here, just remind me, is it Fatou?
Fatou,
yes.
And my name is Fatou, and I am Minerva's managing director in Africa. So
wonderful.
My role revolves around finding students who have potentials to be future CEOs and taking them into the Minerva program, making sure that they get the skills and experiences necessary to be brilliant CEOs.
You've got a hard job, eh?
Quite hard, but quite interesting also.
Just very, very, very quickly, I mean, we'll get to our young student who has been accepted.
She's South African.
South African. Fantastic. Just very, very quickly, give us a roundup of what the differences are, the key differences between what's going on, conventional education, and what you are doing with Minerva.
Sure, and I think it speaks to what it takes to be a leader. So if you look at traditional universities, students spend most of their hours, if they're in class, sitting in large lecture halls.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's all about information dissemination. You take notes, you take an exam, and you forget everything you learned.
Or you don't go to class, like me, and you just read your textbook, and it feels like the same thing. Right.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so here people
looking
are...
the students, she's completely agreeing. Yeah. She's like, hell yes, Gareth. Yes, Robin.
Well, that's exactly right, though, is you invest in this time and you invest money in education, and what do you get out of it? And we think that's a sin. I mean, it just shouldn't happen anymore. So we took a step back and we said, what does this world need? It needs future leaders. It needs leaders who know how to think. It needs leaders who know how to create. It needs leaders who know how to communicate. It needs leaders who know how to interact across multiple teams. And we looked at core competencies of leaders,
mm-hmm.
and we said we're going to build a curriculum around that.
Fantastic. Fatou, how did you get involved in this?
So,
Fatou, I beg your pardon.
No problem at all. So I had a strong interest into really making sure that African students have wonderful opportunities
wonderful.
To develop these leadership skills. So my career before Minerva was really around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found Minerva as a wonderful opportunity because it really prepared, through the curriculum and through the experiences, unique opportunities for students to really develop these leadership skills. So instead of doing it at a local level, I saw that this was a wonderful way for students who have started having these ambitions or wanted to make change happen around our countries and in our continent to get through this opportunity in order to be able to just go out and make active change around the continent and the world.
Now, Minerva is not just a sort of side something that is getting a little bit of attention. You've got some big brands, individual brands really that are backing you guys. Just drop in a few names. We don't mind bragging here on Future CEOs, please.
Yeah, we've had a tremendous amount of support, and we have Senator Bob Kerry, who has been a front leader in American education, leading the way both on a political scene, but as well as leading as a president of the New School. And he's brought with him host of other folks on the political scene who've been watching what we're doing. And the reason they care is because we're finding a way to make this kind of education affordable. Mm. And that's another thing that's critical.
What my next question was. Let's talk about tuition fees and how students afford this and everything that goes with, you know, money and education, as we all know.
Especially on the back of this idea that you get to travel to, I think, 7 different destinations, correct, international destinations.
And you know what, Gareth? I want to actually pick up on why you chose those specific destinations to hold some of the terms of the schooling for these students. Mm. Yeah. Because they're great cosmopolitan cities, but yet obviously there has to be an academic cook to it, mm-hmm, for you as this new age institution to be able to place, mm-hmm, students there for a while. So tuition fees,
yep,
all of that.
Yep. So let me first just give a quick overview. So for those who are listening, to understand a little bit more about what this is all about.
Yes.
So Minerva is about a 4-year scaffolded curriculum.
Yes.
So you start by learning very, very important concepts that you need to be a leader. As I mentioned, all these
bachelor's
core
degree,
skills,
right?
Absolutely.
As well.
And then you're going to go very deep in an area that you're interested in. So you're going to pick a major as you do in other universities. What we believe, though, is if you're going to operate in this world, you need to have a global appreciation, and you're just not going to do that living on a campus bubble.
Mm.
So we did pick cities around the world that have historical context, that are vibrant from an economic perspective, that bring a lot of different culture. We want our students to experience very different environments. So the cities were selected individually because they have a lot to offer, but also if you look at the complement. So going from Europe into Asia, going to Latin America, and having an opportunity to see the differences is critically important. Now, tuition, it's a good question because, you know, you could sound like a very, very expensive undertaking.
To be honest, Robin.
I know. Now, let me explain how we do it. If you look at the cost of universities, what are you paying for? Very often, it's all the amenities.
Mm.
So if you look at universities, they've spent money building fancy dorms. They've spent money.
Accommodation, yes.
Yep,
yes.
Cafeterias. Oh, the, yes, rock climbing wall. Don't forget the Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Yes.
Also libraries and theaters. But then look at these great cities in the world. Look at Berlin, Buenos Aires, San Francisco. They already have libraries and theaters. Mm. Why in the world do you need to build another? So the way we've built our program is the students travel around to these cities and take advantage of what the cities have to offer.
Very
it
nice.
Means we don't have to build it. So it allows us to keep our tuition costs down. Mm. Our tuition's about 25% of other American institutions.
Mm.
When you include all the costs of travel and housing and everything else, it's about half. So here you get this incredible opportunity to get a well-developed foundation, an intentional foundation for all the leadership skills you need. You go and you get a deep study in an area that you're interested in, your discipline, and you go travel the world. And you do that all for less than any other institution.
You know what I like about it is the mere fact that you have to get in a car or whatever it is to access a library, do these kinds of things, just the mere act of that alone forces you to be resourceful.
Right.
And that really is a part of what I'm hearing that this program is all about, is whether it is by force or by just sheer act of doing, that there is a development of a student. Should we introduce our young student at this point?
So they say that over 75%, I stand corrected,
mm-hmm, yeah,
over 75% of the students are not from the USA.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And here she is. Here, yeah, one of them is. What's your name, sweetheart?
Kalia Bakai.
Kalia Bakai. Okay, so you've been accepted into this unique new age school in all its terminology. Tell us about the application process or the process in which you found out you're one of the elite.
So I actually started off at a traditional university in Cape Town. And
where was it? Do you want to name it? Nah.
And it, I found it old school. Wash that away. Yeah, so I found lectures being quite an archaic form of teaching. Mm. Classes of 500 students where, as you said, you didn't attend most of your lectures, and neither did I. I just learned from my textbooks, waited till the exam, and regurgitated everything I memorized.
Yep.
And that wasn't really the way I wanted to learn. I wanted to be engaged in everything that I was being taught, which is how I came across Minerva.
How exactly?
So my father read about it in a newspaper article, sent it to the rest of the family, and me being the youngest, I was completely excited about the opportunity.
Do you have to be an A student to get in? There's a great question, I think. Do you have to be an A student to get in?
You have to be very strong academically.
Okay.
Because the program is rigorous.
Is it?
Yes. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be straight A's, but you certainly have to have really felt very strong about your academics. You have to have worked hard, and you have to prove that you can handle it in an academic environment. But it's a lot more than that. And why don't you talk a little bit about sort of your admissions process, because we look at the student holistically. We don't believe it all comes down to one letter grade. If you had one teacher who didn't like the way you scored on something, that shouldn't impact your future. But we are looking for students who have tremendous potential, and there's other really strong indicators of that.
Yeah, so when I went through the admissions process, firstly, it's very different from applying to universities in South Africa, where most of the time you just send in your transcript. So Minerva really wants to get to know who you are.
Mm.
They do this with a number of different questionnaires and challenges, and these will include a video interview, which that was my favorite part, just because I felt the questions that they chose to ask were really things that I would ask somebody if I wanted to know everything about them or, you know, get a real feel for the person. And then there were some challenges to check my reasoning and my math, basic math skills. And then a part where I spoke about my accomplishments, so things I've done in and out of school, whether it be leading a club or society or doing an exchange to France. And those would be, yeah, the kind of students that Minerva looks for have all these things. You know, it's not just the academic, it's also going into other spheres.
I guess my only concern at this point, hearing when you say an exchange to France, for example, or there's going to be a lot of young people out there that just do not have the means to be able to do an exchange to France, and so they can't say, well, I went on an exchange to France. What do you say to those kinds of individuals?
These young people have gone through experiences also that are very unique. So we don't have an ideal type of Minerva student. We are open to students who are really curious and who go out and see opportunities or challenges around them and try to make a change or try to use those opportunities to improve things. So whether it is that you didn't have the means to travel to France, but you saw a need in your community and you rallied people around that need, that also is part of the things that we look for. So we don't have the ideal sort of accomplishments that we look for in students. We want students who will come with the determination to come out and seize this opportunity to improve things around them, to improve things around the world.
So just let's list a couple of criteria or characteristics that you look for, because I hear what you're actually trying to do is measure, are they going to be able to make it? Are they going to actually last? Well, let's not invest in someone that's not going to be able to do it. So determination is one. What other characteristics would you say embody what you are trying to look for in an individual that should be part of this kind of program?
Nice. Well, I'll summarize it in three things that characterize a Minerva student, because I think that captures exactly what you're asking. First is intellectual curiosity.
Okay, nice.
So it's the student who not only got the A, but then went after class and asked the teacher, tell me more, or I want to read another book, or is there an article, or they went home and they started Googling because they just cared.
Mm.
That's the first thing. The second is socially conscious. So regardless of what community they come from, they know that they have a place to play in making that place better.
Mm.
So as Fatou said, I mean, some of our students just tutor other students at their school. Some of them see that there is a need for some fundraising or they raised, you know, or they collected toiletries for a local community, whatever it might be. But they've taken some initiative and shown some leadership, but that they are socially conscious and doing it outside of themselves. And the third thing is they are humble. Because if you take intellectually curious students who have a social conscience and they're humble, they want to go out and change the world. And that's an amazing base to have for future leaders.
How do you measure humility, Zubi?
Didn't Terence say humility was his A game, and that's what also makes him just the international like superstar that he is?
Yeah, really.
Do you hear that,
right at the core of what he was doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, how do you measure it, though? I mean,
that's great. Are you asking me?
Well, I'm asking you because he pointed at you and he said you are so humble. There is a humility about you. So, I mean,
how do you measure it? I'm gonna throw it around a bit.
Deflection.
Yeah, let's go to the Minerva student from South Africa. What do you think, my love?
I think measuring humility would be looking into other people and what their accomplishments have been more than your own, or at least looking for them at another perspective and wondering what it would be like if you were in their place doing the things that they've done.
Mm. Mm. Okay, nice. Fatu, nice.
I would say that it is a lot about being of service to others, seeing whatever you are doing, whether it is that you are starting a company or whatever it is going to be to improve the lives of others. So leading a life of service would lead you to not only be the center of everything, but taking those people, their ideas or what they are going through in mind and in improving things.
The quote that comes to mind is, what you do speak so loudly, I can't hear the words that you're saying. I think I'm hearing a little bit of that.
Wow, I like that.
That's a nice one, right?
I like that.
Robin, how do you measure humility?
I think it comes down to respect and respect for others. And if you respect others' opinions, if you believe that everybody in the room has a voice, if you are willing to listen as much as you are to talk, that is a great sign of humility.
Mm. Very, very nice. Now, I don't want anyone listening to this conversation to think that this is a sell. Because, I mean, to this point, it's sounding like, I mean, we're really just drawing the universe that is Minerva, or the Minerva certainly where you want to be going as well. But let's go back into this startup story that is Minerva. Mm. So you mentioned you're one of the founders, Robin.
I am. I've been there since the very beginning.
Which was when? 2012?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did it all begin? Let's go back into that, and let's go into this idea that, well, actually you're competing against a Harvard or
centenaries of education
these Ivy
systems.
These Ivy League schools, and you're coming up against that, or certainly being compared to them.
Yeah. So it started with a vision. And the vision is really attributed to our founder, Ben Nelson, who had been thinking about this for 20 years. So it wasn't something that quickly was an overnight and he turned it into a university. But it was going back to his days as a student at one of the Ivy League institutions and realizing that it wasn't delivering on the promise. If you go back and look at why Harvard was started, why the University of Chicago was started, why some of these amazing institutions were originally founded, it was to prepare those who will make decisions of consequence.
Correct. Mm.
Yet students are graduating and they can't get a job as a barista. Something is dreadfully wrong. And so he had the opportunity after some entrepreneurial successes in his career to have a chance to think about what he wanted to do. And this was always his dream, was to figure out how do we really prepare the next generation. And thinking about it from the ground up, reimagining, is really an amazing luxury. We don't have stakeholders who have vested interests. There aren't faculty members who have tenure who want to give the same lectures. Mm. We could start over. So from an entrepreneurial side and a startup side, it really was the best of everything. We knew what we wanted to accomplish, and then we just had to figure the path to get there.
Early challenges?
Oh, everything. My gosh. Starting a university. Are you kidding? I mean, what an audacious, undertaking. Everything from how are we going to build this? Will we be able to hire the team to put this together? How will we create a curriculum? Will we ever find a student? Will we find a student who would pay? Will we hire a faculty member? Will they leave Harvard and Stanford to come teach at Minerva? Will we get accreditation? I mean, everything is a challenge, and we just have been really thoughtful about how are we going to attack each one after the other. Ruthless prioritization, staying really focused, and knowing at the end of the day, it's all about the students. So, I mean, I would say this for any future leader of any organization, you have to know who you're doing it for, and you have to stay true to that. And when I look at our students, I know why we do what we do. It helps in every decision we have to make.
Mm, very nice.
Fatou, do you have anything to say and to add to that?
I think Robin really wrapped it up quite well. It is really about making sure that as you are starting, you have the end goal in mind. We want to train the next generation of leaders, innovators. So whatever we do, we make sure that it is of service to that. The experiences they go through while at Minerva over the 4 years, we make sure that it will be something that going forward they could look back to and learn something out of that. So it is really about staying true to the vision and making sure that everything you do will be of service to the ones that you are trying to serve.
I've got a question here. How do you prevent this from being perceived as an elitist opportunity?
Oh, what a good question. It is about making it inclusive but selective.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
It's really, really
because
tricky.
It is the best of the best students. So
it is.
I wouldn't mind my child being part of that cherry picking pie because I know the intention of why you would found something like that, Robin.
It's exactly it. So why do we have to be selective? Right? It's a question people have asked. We can include everyone. But you said something earlier that's running with it, and that is, you know, we want students who are going to be successful.
Mm.
I said it earlier. It's true, and this is, again, true of any other organization. What we do, it's tough.
Mm.
It's hard. Life is not easy. Going to a university where you're going to be moving all over the world, that's not easy. A rigorous curriculum, that's not easy. So we want to make sure that the students who are coming to us are really ready for that.
Mm.
That's what makes it so selective. And then the key is to open it up and make it accessible regardless of financial means. So that's how you make it more inclusive. So if you are excited about this opportunity and somebody says, I'm really excited about Minerva, they apply, they qualify in, then we work to ensure that financial aid is available.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready, young lady? Are you ready? What are your expectations and hopes for this adventure that you're taking upon?
Can I ask it differently?
Yes.
May I? Who do you want to be after this experience? Is that okay?
Yes, Gareth.
Sorry.
I want to be a more improved version of myself.
Amen.
I want to go through everything that Minerva has to offer, have classmates from all around the world that I can learn from, and really just become the best me I can be. I'm looking forward to being part of this university, which is quite new, and therefore being part of like this pioneering class where I get to help build this new educational institute in the way that I as a student want to see it done.
Do you have a social problem that you're already eyeing out and saying, I want to solve that issue?
So as a South African, after, you know, traveling the world, I want to come back here. I think that there's a lot of issues that need to be dealt with here, and I just like to be part of that community. I'm really passionate about education, and I think that's just a basis that's so necessary for so many students, and it's not as widely accessible to students in South Africa.
I wish I was younger and, you know, I worked a little bit harder at varsity so I could also apply for this, because I really think it's a great opportunity. But like anything great in life, you really have to earn it. And you really have to show your true colors and potential so that people can believe in you. I think just as much as the opportunities are there through Minerva, you have to prove yourself. And I think you've done that, girl, and all the best. And you come back home and you show us what that institution has done for you.
Thank you.
It'll be really, really good to be able to see that for two. Thank you for being here, Robin. Thank you for being here. We have
thanks
run
for
out
finding
of time.
It.
Thank I have you. To wrap this up very, very quickly, otherwise I'm going to get a glare from the sound booth over there, or the production booth, rather. It was great to be with you.
It was wonderful.
We've had some really, really good conversations this week. Everyone, if you want to download these conversations or other conversations, we've got over 200 now, where we really try and close the gap for each of you who is a future CEO. Go to cliffcentral.com, you'll find it there, or future-ceos.com as well. A final word. Take us home, Phoebe.
It's so good to be back. See you next week, Thursday, 2 o'clock, Future CEOs.
See you then.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central.
The revolution. I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.